Good morning. My name is Deborah, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the January Analyst Relations conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Gulterman. You may begin your conference, sir.
Thanks a lot, Deborah. And good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the January Analyst Relations Community Call. And you may have noticed that we've picked up a bit the frequency of our teleconferences with all of you. And that's really reflective of two things. One is the dynamic market that we find ourselves in, number one. And then number two, actually, we moved this call from March into January to coincide with the delivery of the 2009 research agenda, which you'll hear quite a bit about. Before we get into our agenda and I introduce our speakers, I wanted to mention a couple of logistical things. You should have received in the meeting invite three files. The first file is undoubtedly, if you're on the line, you found that already, which is the dial-in numbers for the call around the world. Number two, the second file is our presentation charts in PDF form. And the third file is a research note that Jenny Lehman, our first speaker, will actually reference in her talk. One other item, which is that if anyone who's listening on the call and for some reason has not received the electronic copy of the charts, you can email Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, dot Gulterman, G-O-L-T-E-R-M-A-N, at Gartner.com, and we can make sure we get you a copy of those charts you know, during the call. So with that, I wanted to introduce our agenda for today. Back in October, November of 2008, many of you, our analyst relations community members, participated in some focus groups that was held by Gartner Research on the topics of research quality. And so Jenny Lehman, our Group Vice President of Research Operations, whom all of you know, will take us through some of the findings there and comment on some of the things important to you as AR professionals. Then, if you recall from our December chat, we had Mike Harris on the agenda, who sort of kicked off our thread here about 2009 research plans and research agendas. So as part of our next installation in that thread, we've invited Simon Hayward, Laura McClellan, and Venetia Liu to share with all of you some really key, important, exciting highlights of the 2009 technology and service provider research agenda. We'll open up for Q&A at about, you know, 40, 45 minutes into the agenda. And so we look forward to your questions, and then we'll, you know, wrap up at the top of the hour. So with that, I'd love to toss the mic over to Jenny Lehman. And Jenny, take it away on our chat about the focus groups and research quality.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome, everyone. You know, we frequently get questions about how do we make decisions about what research we write or how we take a position or what methodologies we're going to use. And those questions always result in a long description of all the things that go into that. But one of the things that we do is we do focus groups. We do them on an annual basis. We use it as a way to spot check things that we're already working on, some things that we're considering putting into place. So we thought it might be nice to give you some kind of like an insider's view as to the focus groups that we conducted this past fall and some of the findings to give you a sense of not only some things that you might see coming on down the path, but also some direction that we'll be taking on some of these topics. If you're following along on the slides, you'll want to jump to slide five. Just a brief explanation is that we're always doing ongoing research in a lot of ways. We're looking at client feedback. We do focus groups. We do client surveys. We do client satisfaction surveys, quality surveys, competitive comparison types of surveys. That's all separate from the surveys that we do to collect our research. And so this is part of that ongoing process we do to try to maintain high-quality research and make sure that we're targeting our research correctly. We've been doing these specific focus groups for about 4 years. We do them in the fall timeframe. Many of you may have received invitations to these focus groups, and if you participated, we really appreciate that. The focus groups are broken into different constituencies. So we have an end user group of clients that we have in focus groups. We have vendor clients. And this year, we added a group for the analyst relations professionals because that perspective is different than others from the vendor community. And so it was great to get that perspective as well. And then we use this feedback as we're making the decisions going forward about the positions we want to take and how we want to conduct our research. Now, on slide six, the focus groups that we did this year were focused on four main areas. The first thing was the whole requirement around communicating and previewing research agendas. How far ahead of us publishing a piece of research do our clients want to know about that research? Do they need to see the kind of the pipeline of our research? And if they do want to see it, what do they want to know? How are they going to use that information? The next thing we looked at was a new methodology or proposed methodology that we're looking at. We wanted to get some specific feedback before we might consider pushing that methodology further into our different research areas. The next area was labeling of our research. What kind of taxonomies could we use so that it would be easier for our clients to find and use our research? And then finally, looking at our graphics and visuals. How are clients using them today? How are they meeting their needs and how we might improve those going forward? So I thought what I would do is just share a little bit of the feedback that we got on each of these topics. So if you jump to slide eight, this is where we start out by talking about the agendas. It was interesting that there really wasn't a lot of awareness about what agendas were available today. This is something that we had spent the last year focused on, increasing the amount of information that was available, the different ways that we provided it. Now, prior to this year, we had always published a lot of information about our DataQuest agendas, what's upcoming, what has already been published. We've been publishing information about Magic Quadrants, but we now have started to reveal more about our research pipeline in all areas of our research. So it was interesting to find, first of all, that our clients weren't very aware of that. So when we found that out, we then started showing them what was available and how they might use it and got some feedback on that. Generally, they were pleased with what was there. They were glad to know about it, and they felt that it met their needs. It was adequate for what they needed from us now. Not a surprise to you, vendors and AR professionals wanted more specific information, but only on the things that impacted them in terms of their planning cycle and being prepared for the research that would need to be reviewed by them or would be impacting their own organization. So things like magic quadrants or market scopes or vendor ratings, those kinds of things. The next area that we went into was a whole conversation around a taxonomy. And, you know, that's one of those topics that is kind of interesting because you have to kind of explore how a taxonomy is even used and how it impacts the clients. And we got to some interesting discussions about what might be important to our clients, things like the IT role, the business versus technical focus, the strategic versus tactical, new professional versus really experienced professional. We discussed some of those things, got some good input from clients as to what would be valuable to them from that perspective. But then the more interesting conversation came around when we started talking about the more Web 2.0 types of collaborative taxonomies that we might want to use. That would be user tagging, folksonomies, those types of things that you might see in a more collaborative environment, community type of setting. So we got some really good feedback there and some creative ideas about how we might think differently about our taxonomies. On slide nine, a little bit about a methodology that we put in front of the group. This is a methodology that was actually first published in 2007. That's pretty much how our methodologies get started. An analyst has an idea. They start formulating this idea, and then they have to think about, wow, how am I going to convey this complex concept to a broad range of users? And then they start building a framework, some way to be able to convey this information in digestible chunks by our clients. And before you know it, they've got this framework that would go like, hey, wait a minute, this kind of applies to lots of areas. We need to explore it. So we sent that first piece of research for the strategic technology map out with the invite for you today. That was a PDF that was included. We also have the link here in the presentation for you so that you can jump over to that. But this was a methodology that first started out in our industries group. It really is a very vertical focus type of methodology. But if you jump to slide 10, you kind of start seeing the value of this methodology. And it looks at the business or internal benefits. So for an end user organization, what's in it for that company? They're going to improve productivity, you know, they're going to reduce their errors, they're going to reduce complexity, they're going to be able to work better within their organization. And then the other dimension is improving the client experience. What's in it for the client? So the stakeholder benefit. Then the third dimension that overlays all of this is of each of the technologies that we're going to map onto this model, how easy is it to even get an ROI? Is this, you know, low-hanging fruit, easy to, you know, put in place, get quick wins, or is this going to be complex? You might get great benefit, but you're going to put a lot of effort into it. So if you go to slide 11, this is the example. That's from that piece of research. And you can see in the upper right-hand corner, lots of things there that are high value to both the internal and the external clients, but red, very difficult to do, very difficult to get the ROI. It's going to take some investment. It's going to take some commitment to get that. Whereas if you look down to the lower circle, you see there are some things that are high value to clients that are yellow or green, so easier to get that ROI, might be quicker wins from a client experience perspective. So this is just a methodology that we're looking at. I wanted to share this with you because it gives you a sense of what we go through to start thinking about how to move a methodology out into our organization. And this is exactly how other methodologies like a magic quadrant or a hype cycle got started. Analysts started using it. They started applying it to some complex ideas. A few more analysts tried it. We moved around with it a little bit, and then we finally firm it up and use it in a really consistent way. So I don't know. I can't tell you today how extensive we will use strategic technology maps in the future. I do know there are a few analysts who currently are planning to use this methodology in their research over the next 18 months. So you might see a few of them, and you might see it morph a little bit before we actually use it. But it was interesting to get the feedback from the clients. And it was good feedback for us to be able to use that. So enjoy that. And then the final bit, we looked at visuals and presentations. We use quite a bit of graphics, certainly in our presentations that we do at our major events. We use graphics within our written research. There's a trend in the market today to go to less text-focused, to more graphic-focused information that's available. And so we want to explore that. The feedback that we got on our graphics probably won't be a surprise to many of you because you use a lot of our graphics, is that they're really too dense. They're so dense they sometimes seem cluttered, very text-heavy, overly detailed. And so we explored, you know, what do you mean by that? Because we need to understand if we're going to change our visuals, how do we move them forward? And the finding was is that most of our clients want to reuse our presentations. They'd like to take them into their own organizations and help them tell their story internally. So they want to be able to repurpose them. They want to use different color schemes, simplify them. They want to be able to add labels and those kinds of things. So it was really good for us to be able to get that feedback from them as we think about how we take our visuals forward and how our clients want to use those. So, you know, overall, it was a really good focus group session. We got some really positive feedback. It's good to know, you know, what our clients see the high value in. It's good to hear that from them directly to know where we might make some adjustments. And we were pleased with that. And I hope that this gives you a little bit of a perspective of how we go about vetting some of these things and some of the findings that we had this time. So, Jeff, back to you.
Good, Jenny. Thanks. Wonderful. Hey, I got a question for you. Given that a lot of the AR folks are looking to change the way that they do vendor briefings, consistent with changing expectations amongst the analysts in today's economic climate, I would imagine that there are some interesting things that the strategic technology maps might be able to provide. So, for example, if someone's technology shows up in a great spot, there's both the opportunity to have strategic impact. But I was curious as to whether or not in any of the focus groups that the topic of the economy came up, and how the analyst relations folks in the groups gave you any feedback on that topic.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, because these took place in October and then very early in November, and the topic never came up. Economy issues did not come up in these focus groups. And I think that's it speaks to where the type of people who are in these sessions are, manager, director levels. I think at that point, the heads of organizations, CIOs, were certainly starting to react and respond to economic shifts. But the big dramatic shift that we saw at the manager level started happening more in December. So it was interesting that in those same meetings at Symposium, we were having meetings with CIOs, and they were all about the economy, cost optimization and planning and those types of things. But then when you were talking to the people who were lower in the ranks, they were still focused on business at hand. And so they didn't really come up in the focus groups.
Yeah, what a difference a couple of months make.
Yeah,
huh?
Just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So with that, folks, Jenny will be available for Q&A, later on in the session. But if there are also any things that you guys would like to, any ideas, any feedback on Gartner's methodologies, graphics, the new strategic technology maps, any questions that you'd like to get to Jenny, feel free to email that to the AR community mailbox, which you'll see at the end, and we'll get that over to Jenny. So great. Thanks, Jenny. With that, I'd love to bring up Simon Hayward. Simon is one of our key partners on the research side, working very closely between the High Tech and Telecom Programs Group and Mike Harris's Technology and Service Provider Research Team. And, we enjoy a very close relationship with Simon in being able to work together to listen to your clients and get the right content and offerings into our products. So with that, Simon's actually going to share with you some, and this is, I think, the first time that we're sharing this, in a form like this with our clients, some of the upcoming 2009 expansions of existing as well as brand new research areas for the technology and service providers. So Simon's actually going to introduce the whole segment as well as our other speakers, Laura McClellan and Venetia Liu, for their pieces. So Simon, take it away.
Thanks very much, Jeff, and good morning, good evening to you all, wherever you are. As Jeff says, I'm going to provide a bit of a framework for the way that we are looking at our agenda planning for 2009 as we move forward in Technology and Service Provider Group. As you will, I'm sure, all be very aware, traditionally the way that we thought about this research aligns very closely to the structure of our DataQuest products, and there are indeed very many of those products which provide quite fine-grained definition of market areas, particularly statistics related to those market areas, and so on. During the course of 2008, we've moved much more of our attention to delivering our research within the framework of the Gartner for Business Leaders products, which are much more kind of broad in what they deliver. And we've also recognized that in that broader context, we need to start thinking about the way that we segment our research rather differently from just the kind of technology marketplace divisions that we've traditionally used. So a division that may have become familiar to you and certainly would be familiar to anybody who's used the marketing portals that were released during 2008 is this distinction of customers, competitors, markets, and technologies, which is shown on slide 15. And that's become, in a sense, the top-level framework that we've been using to think about how much research we produce, what sort of research we produce. Now, to feed into that planning process, we've got a number of data sources. Jenny already mentioned the work that we do in focus groups, which is one type of information. What I thought I would also share with you is another type of information, which is, in a sense, another form of kind of classic market research, where we go out with a telephone interview process and talk not only to existing clients but to people who are not clients at the moment, and try in that way to get a general sense of what may potentially be of interest in the technology service provider market that we're providing to. So on slide 16, you see there that we've looked at the sort of top-level sorts of issues that are of interest to people in the marketplace. And at the very top of that list, you see that the thing that came out as of highest interest is actually information related to vertical industries. So it's not entirely coincidental that one of the things that we'll drill down on in the course of this call, in fact, is the specifics of our plans for coverage of vertical industries in 2009, and that's what Venetia will be talking about a little bit later. And then you also see in this list some of the other kind of big topic areas, things like software as a service, the change in commercial models, cloud computing, green IT, and so on. And this reflects the fact that we recognize that there are more and more of these sorts of trends within the industry that can't be located within one particular technology market. You can't say it's just about comms or just about services or just about software or whatever. We really have to find ways within our research of ensuring that all our groups can contribute to the research that we're delivering on these sort of larger topic areas. And that's one of the things that I'll touch on as I start talking about the specifics of how we've responded to this sort of input. Something else that we did was we wanted to obviously to get an understanding, if we're categorizing our research in terms of these four big buckets of coverage of competitors, markets, customers, and technologies, then, you know, what's the relative importance of that to the audience that we're trying to serve? And so on slide 17, you can see that, in fact, the split between those four categories is really quite even. But what we also took the opportunity to do here was to test the possibility of adding, in effect, a fifth category of research labeled on this slide best practices, because this is something that we're certainly very familiar with doing on for our end user research, and we've now been developing our role-based products for end users for some period of time with a lot of focus on what are the best practices, what are the practical how-to advice that we want to give our end users. And we were beginning to recognize that there was more of an opportunity potentially to do this also for our vendor clients. It's something that we've always done to some extent, and somebody like Laura McClellan that many of you may know has been involved in that area for some time, but it's never really been a broad focus area across the whole of our organization. And based partly on this sort of input, which indicates really what I thought was a surprisingly high level of interest in that sort of topic, that's something else that we're going to be focusing a lot of attention on in the course of this year, which is what Laura will drill down on. One thing, just to give you kind of a bit more background, if you move to the next chart, is that we do recognize that it's very easy in these sorts of surveys to get information about what people are interested in, but the question obviously then comes down to, yes, but will they in fact pay for it? And so when we ask the question in terms of the way that people would potentially wish to allocate their budget, the kind of hypothetical $100 between these different categories of research, again, you see what seems to me a surprisingly even split, and again, a relatively high proportion perhaps for this area that we've referred to here as best practices. So what we wanted to do was to take that sort of approach and also apply it to some other kind of balanced sorts of questions. Another one that's become important in talking to a lot of our individual clients is their emphasis in the last year or so on emerging markets. Again, the question was, though, for the general available market out there that we could be addressing, really how much interest is there in emerging markets versus our perhaps more traditional coverage of mature markets? And slide 19 shows that, again, somewhat to my surprise, the interest in emerging markets is you know, very high, is almost on a par with mature markets, again, leading us to put a lot more emphasis on emerging markets as we go forward into the future. And the final bit of background information I thought I'd share with you sort of comes from a completely different direction, but it gives you some idea of the scope of the things that we're considering when we do our planning. The question that's shown on slide 20 covers the preferences that people indicated for the way in which they'd actually like research delivered. And I think there's a perception within Gartner and maybe many other places that clients are increasingly looking for sort of short reports, looking for almost a soundbite level of information. And although I think that may be true in many contexts, what this data shows is that it actually isn't true for the type of audience within our vendor communities who are still very interested, for the most part, in the sort of longer, more in-depth reports. So that's, again, something else that we need to bear in mind in terms of not just the topics that we cover, but also how we provide that coverage. So based on this information, you can see that things like blogs, for example, although they may be a topic that we all talk about a lot, certainly don't seem to appear very high up the list of the ways that our clients either do or would want to interact with us. So if we take all those sorts of inputs and tie it into what we're seeing for the research agenda framework for 2009, the starting point is indeed the same four segments that we had for 2008. But as you move on to chart 22, you can see, firstly, that we've put some percentages against those four segments. Now, those are relatively kind of informal. They're not a precise metric. But what they were intended to illustrate, as much for internal reasons as external reasons, was to some extent a rebalancing of the portfolio away from so much focus on particularly market coverage, which is the thing that within our DataQuest research we've, if you like, been traditionally known for, recognizing that we need more coverage on some of these other types of things. And then to make that a bit more specific, we're looking at the particular types of deliverables that will contribute to that shift of balance. So within the markets area, yes, it remains very important. We'll continue to do that type of research, but we also want to put more emphasis on emerging markets. So you see that highlighted within that quadrant. On the competitive side of things, the SWOT reports that we started producing at the back end of 2007 did quite a lot in 2008, certainly will continue to be a major emphasis for 2009. We're also going to introduce a new type of research there called competitive landscapes, which will not look at an individual supplier in the way that the SWOTs do, but will look across a market segment, possibly a market segment within a particular geography, and so provide a comparative way of looking at an element of the market, but again with regard to specific named vendors in those cases. So those are certainly two areas which, as AR professionals, you know, you'll be closely involved with us in understanding which ones we're doing, when we're going to do them, tying them into your planning and so on. We recognize that that's a very important issue as we move forward with those types of things.
Hey, Simon, I got a question before you get to the next chart, which was, what was the most surprising thing that came out of the research work that you did with our clients on agenda directions? Anything come to mind there?
Well, I guess for me, of all the things that I looked at, perhaps the most surprising one was the degree of emphasis on emerging markets. Because I think we'd seen that with some of the major large companies had certainly done things like created specific units, given executive level responsibility for emerging markets within their organization and so on. But I think my sense was that was perhaps a relatively kind of specific phenomenon, that if you looked at, you know, the big companies, then that's where they were looking for growth and so on and so forth. But what came out of this research, I think, is that phenomenon was really much more broadly based, and that even if you look on average, say go back to the, you know, hypothetical $100 that people wanted to spend on research, how much of that would they like to spend on research related to emerging markets? The answer was almost half, which is certainly, as I say, much larger than I frankly would have expected before we did that research.
Gotcha. Thanks.
So just finishing off on the other quadrants here, then the customers quadrant, we have the thing highlighted called Gartner Analytics. Now, you're already familiar with some of the things that we're doing in that area under the labels of Customer Insights, where we look at information from Gartner's own database on the topics that our clients are asking us about in inquiries. We also have data on Search Analytics, where we look at searches made on Gartner websites. All that information we're now, in effect, rebranding within this overall category that we call Gartner Analytics, where we'll be looking at all the sets of data that Gartner potentially collects from its own activities that can provide information to you about the interests of the people who are both our clients and, of course, your clients as well. So Gartner Analytics is not so much a completely new type of research there, but a way that we're going to rebrand and reorganize the delivery of some of that content. And then finally, in the technologies area, one thing that became a significant growth area for us in 2008 was coverage of emerging technologies. That, I think, has proven to be very valuable, and we will be continuing with significant coverage of specific emerging technologies within individual reports within 2009. And then the last thing, moving on to chart 23, that I want to emphasize here is the addition of what we sometimes refer to as the fifth quadrant. So the bit in the middle that we've labeled marketing essentials here, that's the brand that we will be using to deliver the best practices research that I mentioned earlier that has really come to the fore, again, as a result of assessing, you know, where the potential interest in the market for our research lies. And Laura will drill down in a little bit more detail on some of the specifics of what we plan in that area. So the thing that I'll just finish with is an indication of how we want to address these sort of cross-topic areas, cross-team research topics that we see becoming increasingly important to our clients. And so for 2009, we've created five new agendas, agendas essentially being the structure that we use within research to manage our activities, what we cover and how we prioritize things. The first of those is the one that internally we call benchmarking and best practices for HTTP marketing. That's the thing that actually then delivers to the marketing essentials part of the content that I just referenced that Laura will tell you a bit more about in just a moment. The second one is the area that we call global IT forecasts and market analysis, because more and more of what our clients are looking to us for is not just the specifics of what will be happening in this particular market, this particular segment, but how does that all tie together, and in particular, back to the conversation that Jeff and Jenny touched on earlier, how does that tie in with what's happening in the world economy? And so we need a framework within which we can look at that kind of big picture issue of the economic impact and the way that that relates to our various forecasts. So again, this agenda provides us with the framework for synthesizing all that forecasting work together in that way. Emerging markets, again, doesn't sit with any particular technology area. It has to cut across all the areas. So we'll have an agenda that actually covers the emerging markets research. And then two of the kind of big industry themes at the moment, cloud computing and green IT, are again areas that don't belong to any particular market, any particular technology group. So once again, we want to have agendas that will enable us to look across all the research that we're creating in that area and really pull out the major impacts of those trends as they both kind of grow out of particular areas and then feed back into those areas. So those are the other two where we're creating new agendas which will cut across the whole of our TSP organization. So I hope that gives you some sort of idea of the way that we go about considering the changing shape of our research from year to year and some of the specifics of what we're going to be focused on in 2009. The two of those that we've chosen to drill down on in the rest of this presentation, first of all, marketing essentials, which Laura will talk about, and then the verticals area, which Venetia will follow up with. So at this point, over to you, Laura.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate that. Well, let me step back a bit. Simon said this is all about benchmarking and best practices, and we've had a lot of requests in this economy, and we've seen a back-to-basics movement. So to put benchmarking into context, benchmarking against best practices is one of the things that many of our clients are doing right now in their marketing organizations. And if you think about that, what that is identify, understand, and adapt outstanding practices and processes from anywhere, you know, to help your organization improve its performance. So the collecting data to show you what can be achieved, but more importantly, providing insight to how the performance can be achieved is what this is all about. Simon discussed the fact that it was a new category for us internally. It's a new way of working as well, because this will be an agenda that crosses all of the markets. We're planning about 60 documents for next year, and they will be published in Gartner for Business Leaders in the program management and marketing space. We're using a very broad definition when we say marketing essentials of marketing, and that is everything from strategy and business all the way down through the actual development and product portfolio and launch and brands. So it's a big definition. We're not meaning marketing in the sense of marketing communications. I think as we took a look at what people wanted, we determined that how-to documents should be the majority, and I'll show you in a minute what the content looks like. But I want to assure you that although many Gartner analysts have many strong opinions, we're not just going on informed opinions. There will be support to back this up. And how we differentiate this from the normal deliverables that you would get would be, if this is data that you can use to do something, then it's probably not a marketing essentials. But if it's an explanation of the process for doing an activity or a strategy, then it is. So much of this advice that comes into the how-tos are things that may only have been available through inquiry or through SAS, and now we're forcing people to actually write it down and put it on paper. If you turn the page and take a look at this, the activity cycle that we're talking about is what we'll use to define the marketing essentials documents for this year in five categories: examine, plan, execute, communicate, and evaluate. And so for each of these activities, there then will be actions underneath it, and for each of the actions, there will be tasks underneath it. And we're asking people to write as specifically as possible to those things. And the reason we chose this rather than functions and saying, well, this is marketing communications, or this is branding, or this is product management, is that the activities, the functional titles change by company, but B, there may be people who cross multiple activities or multiple functions that participate in one activity. So you will see this activity cycle published in March, and if I ask you to turn the page, I'll share the content breakdown that is our current thinking right now. The how-to or the process pieces are things like how to write the perfect elevator pitch, or based on our expertise on the other side of Gartner in reviewing proposals, what are the elements of the best sales proposals? The framework pieces are meant to help do something better in the sense that it's a tool. We frequently use tools to help companies identify the best reseller partners or strategic alliance partners, or tools to do different forms of segmentation analysis. We've simply not published them before, and we will. Of interest to those of you who are on the lookout for some recognition is we will fold in some case studies of those of you who have done an activity or a strategy particularly well, not immediately, mind you, we don't want to give your competitors any advantage, but something that you may have done in the past that's still relevant. Benchmarks will be the results from primary research that we've done on what are people spending on marketing and where are the marketing priorities, possibly some end-user research as well that will be very broad in all markets about effective marketing activities. And then finally, we'll have a couple of thought leadership pieces on something that we think is important more from a strategic standpoint for marketing to look at, even though it won't impact them immediately. The last page talks about examples of some of these documents, and right now there are approximately 30 of the 60 that are locked in, and we're still negotiating internally over the other 30. So I encourage you, if you have ideas for things that your organization would like to see, please let us know so that we can embed those topics and negotiate with analysts to write them for this year. Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Venetia now to talk about industries.
No, actually, Laura, I have a quick question for you before we bring up Venetia. You know, you've done lots of great work helping our AR clients over the years, you know, writing, you know, presentations and making recommendations and giving them advice. which I know is very, very well received and respected. What are some of your thoughts on how the AR folks, you know, would leverage this new agenda in working with their marketing folks internally?
I've always viewed analyst relations as a highly strategic function within most companies, and I think that the more analyst relations can bring to the corporate marketing as well as business and field marketing, the better. I think that certainly the transmission of this information is one way to do it. The two-way transmission of what's desired is another. Volunteering from a marketing standpoint to participate in a case study would be another. But in general, I think that analyst relations people pretty well know from a much higher level than internally they're given credit for what the organization needs, and they may well suggest things they think the organization needs as well as be a transmission agent.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Laura.
Great. Well, this is Venetia Liu. I'm Research Director within the Industry Market Strategies team, and I'm also the Research Agenda, and I appreciate the opportunity to go over our Research Agenda for 2009. Now, many of you may or may not be familiar that the Industry Market Strategies research, it's always been directed towards technology providers and helping them with go-to-market strategies, outlining the key solution areas, identifying opportunities across micro verticals, and especially given what's happened in the current economic downturn, I'm on slide 32 here. We've bucketed these questions in alignment with Simon's outlines of categories within markets, customers, marketing essentials, technology, and competitors. So many of the executives have questions such as, well, where should I go next? Where is the opportunity? What are the key solutions for this industry? What are the industry-specific buying behaviors? And how should we, you know, have a more effective vertical market strategy? Well, it's these types of questions that our research has always been addressing. But for 2009, we've asked the team to kick it up a notch. So on slide 33, on the next slide, we have here, how can we target more effectively, you know, the industry go-to-market strategies? In the past, many of you have seen our Primer reports. We will continue with the Primer reports on some of the industries that haven't been highlighted. But even more so, we'll be working with Laura McClellan and her team on creating the marketing essentials document. Many of you have asked us for even the elementary, how do we create a vertical market strategy? And so this particular research will focus on that. How to beat the competition. So many of you, as Simon had outlined, there's a competitive landscape report. In the past, our team has produced competitive landscape reports where we highlight who are the key players within the industry. This year, we will produce more on the competitive landscapes. For example, I have one for the IT services, landscape, and media and entertainment. Many of you have been asking, well, where is the opportunity? You know, everyone's been cutting their budget. Where is the key areas of opportunity in IT spend for 2009? We have done a number of primary research surveys, and in fact, most of it has been conducted last quarter and trickled into the beginning of this quarter. So in particular, we had surveyed the banks and insurance companies, what are their spending plans, especially through this financial crisis. And so those data points will be analyzed and will be released in an upcoming document. And lastly, how the industry will shape up. There has been a lot of data that companies who continue to invest in R&D efforts in an economic downturn, that once the economy recovers, they actually fare better. And so, you know, Peter Sondergaard has encouraged all of us to think about, you know, once the economy recovers, of course, you know, right now we've been working a lot on the cost optimization areas, cost containment strategies. But he also challenged us to think of, you know, when the economy recovers, how should we help our clients in positioning for that? So right now we're still brainstorming on this particular research note, but we've been thinking about providing some more analysis on our thought leadership, What will the alternative delivery models look like for a particular industry? What are the future scenarios for the industry? How will communications evolve? What are some of the procurement methods? And how, what's the impact of these social tools and social communities, and how are companies using that? So these are areas that we're still brainstorming, and we always welcome feedback into our agenda. On the next slide, our agenda has been quite dynamic given the market conditions. For Q1 and Q2, you see here, it has been set. I've mentioned before about our user survey analysis and reports that we will be covering. We also did a number of surveys in the emerging markets, as Simon had outlined. We have a retail survey in India, as well as a carrier buying behavior, carrier requirements in Russia. There's an oil and gas for Western Europe, and U.S. healthcare adoption of IT. But all of these survey reports will be released this quarter. We also provide an industry outlook for 2009. In the past, we've highlighted what are the key business issues, where the key opportunities are. This year, we're going to include a specific drill down on the economic stimulus package and how that will impact our various vertical markets. And then also, we have our forecast data cubes that will be released in the next 2 weeks. For the second quarter, I mentioned the competitive landscape reports. We also have industry-specific solution topics. For example, Cynthia Moore, who looks at energy and utilities, and oil and gas will release a customer information solutions topic. We also have our key issues for IMS. And for third quarter, we have something that we launched last year, which was a four-part BRIC series, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, a four-part series and really drilling further into the key opportunities by vertical market. Last year we produced China. This year we will do a drill down into India. And I should say, for this agenda for IMS, we've left it fairly fluid in that, you know, we collaborate across many of the teams. As you can, you know, you're probably well aware, many of our colleagues are interested in really verticalizing their information. So last year, we collaborated in a number of reports on the BPO, so BPO in media, BPO opportunity in manufacturing, BPO areas in government. We also did a number of server trends reports with our hardware analysts. So server trends in manufacturing, server trends in communications, as well as the IT outsourcing reports that we had collaborated on. So we've left our agenda fairly fluid in order to allow the analysts to collaborate across teams. We've received a number of requests to collaborate with the telecom team. So you can expect a number of reports in that area. Last year, at the end of last year, given what had happened in the economic downturn, many of our clients were interested, as well as, you know, from our viewpoint, we really wanted to let our clients know our viewpoint on where we believe the IT spending opportunity to be. And so we launched a number of, you know, how the changing global economic outlook will affect IT spending in manufacturing, in healthcare, in retail, in telecom, in transportation. You saw a series of reports in utilities, et cetera, that was released last year. This next slide is an amalgamation of where we identified within the micro verticals. So spending that will continue through 2009, those in the positive categories, hospitals, pipelines. Where spending is fairly neutral, food and beverage, high-tech, grocers, insurance, mid-sized banks, and then areas where the micro verticals have been seriously impacted. On the next slide is a list of our analysts. You can see the various names as well as our research areas. We do have Derry Finkelday, who was on maternity leave for the past year, has come back. And she'll cover the Asia-Pacific area for us. And then our colleague in Japan is noted in a dotted line. He doesn't directly report to our team, but it's a virtual collaboration. So with that, you know, our agenda, again, we always appreciate insight and feedback from our clients. So if you have any thoughts, please feel free to let us know. And I'd like to hand it over to Andy Rosenblatt to talk about how you can get access to our research agendas.
Thank you, Venetia, and hello to everyone out there. We've been spending a majority of today's call talking about what's coming over the course of the next year, specifically related to agendas. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to make a brief public service announcement. As many of you know, we've begun to publish the research agendas, as Simon and others alluded to earlier, and I just wanted to remind folks of how to navigate to those agendas. So for folks that are logging into the Gartner for Analyst Relations product, simply navigate to the tools page on your web experience, and you'll find the agenda there. For clients that are not on the Gartner for Analyst Relations offering, you can access the agenda from the classic Gartner.com website. Simply navigate to the vendor relations page, and on that page, on the right-hand side of that page, you'll see a section called editorial calendar, which within that section you'll find a link to the research agenda. Just a note there, you must be logged in as a client in order to see that link. So if you're not seeing the link, just ensure that you're logged in. The research agendas are updated on a quarterly basis. They were recently updated about a week or so ago. So I encourage you, even if you've seen them already, I encourage you to go take a look at the most recent version of the agenda. And with that, I'll turn things back over to Jeff for some Q&A.
Great. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Venetia. And Deborah, at this time, we'd love to open up the lines for Q&A.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
And Jeff, while we're pausing, can I just add a quick comment to Andy's point about the agendas to make people aware of the fact that you won't find everything that we're planning to do in those agendas. We are increasingly extending the range of things that that we're including in that published agenda list. At the moment, the focus, particularly for the AR folks, is on the types of research which actually involve direct interaction with yourselves, so the things that you have to plan around. So things like magic quadrants and SWOTs and so on are covered. If there are other types of research that you think it would be particularly useful to have information about from your planning point of view, then again, if you can provide that information back to Jeff and the AR community, we can certainly take a look at doing that.
Good. Yeah, thanks, Simon.
And your first question comes from Terry Green.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Terry.
Hey, I apologize if you mentioned this. I didn't hear it. Slide 34. Gartner vertical market expectations for IT spending. Is there a larger research document and descriptions around this particular slide?
Hey, Venetia, you want to grab that?
Sure. I'm looking at you're not referring to the forecast data cubes.
Well, I don't know. On slide 34.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is there a research document that goes into more detail around these spending patterns of the vertical markets?
Yes, so absolutely. So there's two separate areas. One is the spending plans, the user survey analysis, and there will be research notes around these. And then later on, I didn't do a justice to this. I apologize. But for the forecast data cubes, that's where we do a drill down into, I think we have the 54 different vertical markets across, well, I know we have 13 countries within Asia Pacific, 23 countries within EMEA market, but that's where we do the drill down. We cut that across the 14 top vertical markets and then even the micro verticals. So there is a forecast data cube that we launch. It's worldwide as well as industry specific, so and then regional as well. So we have a top line forecast that covers across all the different regions, all the different countries, across all the different vertical markets. And then you will expect to see, for example, energy and utilities. They'll do a drill down into the various different micro verticals that she covers and has the IT spending plans and projections across all of the worldwide, so including the regions, including the geographies, and including the countries. Similar, you'll see that for healthcare, for financial services, for government, for telecom. You'll see the drill down between wireline, wireless, cable and broadcasting, satellite. You'll see the data points across the different regions and countries.
Excellent. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I should have explained further on those industry data cubes. A lot of data, and we are in the throes of producing those right now. So you will expect to see them on Gartner.com in the next 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you.
And your next question comes from Jason Leo.
Hi, Jason.
Cool. Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking the question here. I just wanted to know if your group planned on publishing anything on cellular gateway successes or interface stories on cellular gateways.
Let's see. Simon, you want to grab that?
I was wondering if you knew the answer to that question, Jeff. because honestly, I don't either. I mean, that's certainly something I can pick up and pursue with the comms team specifically. You know, it would certainly be within their research plans that they have, but not the level of detail that I've looked at directly. So, essentially, can I say we'll come back to you on that one?
Yeah, Jason, if you want to shoot me an email, then we can get that to the right person. You know, if your email has the right details in it, we'll get it to the right person and get that answer for you.
Will do. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And you do have a question from Kathy Nottingham.
Yes, Mike, I think this is back to Jenny, I'm not sure, but or maybe it's Laura. When we're looking at these data cubes by industry and by region, that's very useful. The other piece, though, is to break that into the dimension of products, because although it's useful as a vendor to understand overall IT technology needs and forecasts by industry and in specific regions, it's also obviously very important to understand which products and which technologies. And so looking at that third dimension, is that something that you're considering doing? I've discussed this with people a number of times, and it was my understanding that you were looking to go in that direction this coming year.
Gotcha. Vinicia, you want to handle that?
Well, in terms of products, so for the specific industry market strategies, not only does it cut by region, by country, and by vertical, it does drill into, for example, hardware, software, and IT service lines of consulting, development and integration, IT management, process management, and support services. If you're meaning a drill down even further into hardware, for example, PCs versus mainframe versus
actually, I was looking.
Technologies.
I was looking more on the software, different types of software.
Right, great. So even for software, infrastructure software, and all the different flavors like middleware, database software, security software, and then for application software, where we drill down into CRM, et cetera, the goal is for eventually all of these forecasts. Because if you subscribe to the software team, they do a number of forecasts on the particular technologies within software, but ultimately our new head of forecast, Simon, I'm going to forget his name.
Richard Gordon.
Thank you. Richard Gordon. The objective is for all of the forecasts to eventually be available to our clients. It's this larger Uber project that we've been working on for a number of years. Internally, we call it DQDMS. But eventually, the goal is clients would then be able to access on their own a pull down into, let's say I really want to know what this CRM forecast is for banks, that they'll be in Germany. They'll be able to go in, pull up the data points that they're interested in. This, again, is something, a vision that Gartner DataQuest has been working towards. I don't know exactly what stage we're in. I know Richard Gordon would have much more information, but our team has been actively involved in that. John Lovelock, who is our healthcare analyst, he's also our forecast liaison into that project. And I know that we're supposed to launch a few beta trials, but there is that roadmap strategy to provide clients for that. Currently, though, if you're interested in software, different types of software forecasts, they are available through the software team. Simon, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, I mean, so I think just to perhaps summarize, perhaps rather than add, Venetia, there is already a breakdown by certain predefined product categories within each of the technology areas that relates to the vertical forecast that Venetia was referring to. What we're then working on is to make that a more kind of flexible system so that essentially people can slice and dice it any way in which they want to. So, yes, there is some data available today. You can find out the specifics, again, by talking to people within the software team for the software area, obviously in other teams for other areas. In future, we'll make that more flexible in terms of the way that you get access to it.
And, you know, Kathy, this is Jeff. If you want to expose, you know, the question a bit more, shoot us that question. We can, you know, get that in front of the software team as well for you and get that answer.
I think Venetia answered it pretty well. The level of familiarity I'm looking for really is that CRM in Germany, for example.
Okay. All right, super. That's great.
In the healthcare market or something, so that we can see it that way. A lot of vendors are going to market by industry, and so when we get these product forecasts or an industry forecast, neither of them, I mean, we need the intersection of the two.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've recognized. So that's the sort of direction that we're moving in.
Well, good. Well, let's. It's top of the hour here for us. I'd love to suggest that if there are more questions from the group, that you email them in to the AR community mailbox, and we'll get them addressed for you. A quick heads up, we're going to continue with our thread of having more frequent calls. And with that, we're going to continue the discussions around research agendas in February and cover off the end user side of our vertical industry coverage. We're looking for another call like this the week of February 9th. We wanted to wait to get the invites out after we finished this call to not confuse everyone. And then we also wanted to update the AR community on our Q1 product releases. There's some interesting information in there for all of you to know what's going on within the high-tech products as well as the end-user areas. And then also we continue to get questions about the opportunities, where's the risks, the threats, the opportunities in light of the continued economic slowdown. So we will also queue up folks from research to update you on their perspectives there as well. So any other topics, questions, feedback, you see the AR community at Gartner.com email address there. And we want to thank all of our speakers, Jenny, Simon, Laura, Venetia, Andy. Thanks so much for all the effort that went into your presentations. And thanks, everyone on the line, for taking the time out of your busy days to listen. So thanks, and we will see you in February. Thanks, everyone.
This concludes today's conference call. You might now disconnect.